Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers. Hello and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, Zarda gave him a dangerous look that would have stopped another man in his tracks. Soray wasn't certain Jorad saw it, or perhaps he intentionally didn't look because Soray had seen Jorad wither under such a look from Zarda before. The rustle and noise that had been coming from the townspeople subsided. Even Liron, who normally didn't seem too affected by what was happening around him, stared as Jorad reached up with his thumb and swiped the top of the arch. Melia's nine bloody burning fires, Jorad said, when nothing happened. Soray's hope for seeing her father fizzled. What could have taken out the arch? And now, Chapter 14. Adar scooped up his blaster from where he had dropped it on the ground as he splashed through a mud puddle. The mud hit with a shock of cold, causing him to shiver. It was funny how some things seemed less important in the face of death and destruction. He would have taken care to avoid the mud on a normal day. His pants were already soaked through anyway and caked with dirt and grime. A black streak came down the front of his wet shirt, and it had torn in several places. At least the rain had let up some during the last few minutes. The wreckage and everything in its path were a terrible sight. A building that had been there one moment had been demolished the next. The ship had left a path of destruction all along the rest of the way. The alley where he'd been before the crash was blocked with rubble from the building. If he and Kira had been a few seconds slower, they would have been in the middle of that. Kira was several houses down from all the damage, squatting at the side of the road beside a tree while clutching Lars to her chest. Adar frowned when he thought of all the children that couldn't be shielded from the brutal reality that was enveloping them all. Lars won't remember what life had been like before all this, he thought. Melia, if we can't find Donnie, he won't even remember his own mother. Adar studied Kira, wondering if she would pick up the role if Donnie couldn't be found. She didn't seem the mothering type, but he had learned over the years never to underestimate a woman's maternal instincts. Adar was almost to Kira when a rushing sound from overhead broke into his thoughts. He came to a halt and located another ship that came from the opposite direction of the first. It, too, looked as if it were falling out of the sky. A streak of fire and smoke came from behind it. It would hit on the far side of the city. They were not in any danger. He had not had the right angle on the first ship to see the smoke trailing behind it, but he looked back and could now see a line that rose into the clouds from the direction the first ship had come. None of the other Hunway ships had left behind the smoke. He hoped it meant these had been damaged. You're covered in mud, Kira said. He had heard her approach but had not turned. And you smell. Lars peeked his head out from under her coat, using his hand to push it away while the rain pelted his face. He gave Adar a smile that split his face in two. Adar returned it and patted Lars on the head. How's the boy? He will take sick if he is out in this much longer. Didn't you say we were getting close? Adar barely heard her response as he examined the rest of the sky looking for other ships. So far, there was nothing else. He wouldn't mind if they all crashed. He just didn't want to be dodging the things while trying to assess whether or not he could reach the arches. You should take shelter while I go on alone, Adar said, motioning towards the crash and the trail of the wreckage the ship had left behind. That's where we were headed. I'll scout ahead and see if the way is blocked. Bleeding Melia, can this day get any worse? Kira rubbed the side of her head with a free hand. The way's blocked and you want to leave me. Why don't you just find Isaac and turn me over to him? Find an empty home and keep watch, Adar said. Keep the blaster close. If Isaac or any of his men find you, shoot first. You remember how to use it? That's easier said than done. Kira's voice had a sharp edge to it. For one, if it's Isaac, it won't just be him. For another, you want to try to shoot a blaster while wrangling a toddler? I'm more likely to shoot my own foot off. We're better off coming with you. I'll take care of him. You won't even know we are there. Adar shook his head. That's no place for him, and you know it. If the way is open, I'll come back for you. If not, we'll get out of the city another way. He scanned the horizon. It also would not hurt to be on the watch for more of these falling ships. I do not think we've seen the last one. Kira was red in the face, and Adar suspected her hands would have been shaking if she wouldn't have been holding so tight to the baby. "You're just going to leave me here?" she asked. "Defenseless with a babe that can hardly walk on his own?" "Give me a quarter hour," Adar said. "If I'm not back by then, you'll need to make a break for it." "So it's like that, is it?" she asked. "A poor woman and a baby are going to slow you down. Don't you dare abandon me now. They're after me because of you," she snorted. "None of this would have happened if you would have just left me well enough alone." "A mistake I won't repeat," Adar thought. "I'll come back," he said. "Whether you're here or not, whether the way out is blocked or not." Kira snorted again. "Look, lady," Adar said. "You want to run? Fine." Adar cleared his throat and lowered the volume of his voice. As long as you stick with me, I will do what I can to help you. See that house on the corner? It looks empty. The door's flapping in the wind and all the windows in front are broken. I'll look for you there." He walked off without waiting for another response. After he had gone a ways, Adar looked back and was not surprised to see her staring at him, her lips pulled back into a snarl. He made a waving motion with his free hand, urging her to go to the abandoned home. "I should have told her I'd come back for the kid," he thought. "Returning for her is optional." His eyes followed the second falling ship. It was the work of the tower. What else was there to explain it? He felt a glimmer of hope. If the tower could bring down ships, they might have a better chance of surviving this than he had originally thought. He just hoped that the Hanwei didn't figure out what was going on. The thought gave him pause. The turncoats who had escaped had witnessed everything that had happened. They had seen what the tower could do. He needed to protect the towers. They hadn't done anything until he had given them the command to attack. The first step to defending them would be to get the tablet back from Terror. If Adar had that, he could keep somebody monitoring what was happening so that they could activate the towers when the Hunway drew near. "Have somebody do something for me?" Adar thought with a snort that made him cough. It had been a long time since there had been anybody to obey his orders. He still sometimes thought like he was a general, but Jorad was the closest thing he had to his former days at the head of any army, and Jorad was more inclined to argue than obey. Everything had changed now that Adar had established that the weapons were still active and could be used. All he had to do was to get the tablet back. Maybe it was time to consider going to Rarbon with Jorad. There was no reason not to now. Liron had said most of those back home expected him to return. Every time Adar had considered going home to Rarbon, he usually had a good reason to put the thought off. He had told Jorad he didn't want to return because of the banishment, but the truth was he used that as more of an excuse than an actual reason. He would be able to get past that hurdle. If the general sentiment among the people of Rarbon was that he did not kill his wife, there must be some on the Rarbon Council that would see it that way as well. The sudden clarity surprised him. It was a jarring thought. He had been telling himself the same story for so long that when the facts on the ground changed, it felt as though somebody had punched him in the gut. When he looked back, he was happy to see that Kira was heading towards the abandoned home with a forlorn look on her face. "I'll have to make sure nothing gets in the way of me coming back to her," he thought. "If I do not return, I'll have yet another person out to get me." Since the alley he had planned on using was blocked, he jogged up the street until he came to another alley parallel to the first and cut into it, barely slowing as he took the corner. He could make out the form of the ship as the dust settled. At least he thought it was dust, but with all the rain, it was more likely to be smoke. The rear of the ship still burned. The flames pointed away from the back instead of dancing upward in the fashion to which he had become accustomed to fire behaving. The observation bothered him until he remembered the ships he had watched take off had used the same mechanism to fly. He had been thrown off because those flames had been pointed downward. He leaped over another dead Hanwei corpse, dead from the tower, and almost slipped but was able to push a hand up against a rain-slicked wall of a home to steady himself. The hilt of his sword struck the weathered bricks, and the metallic sound seemed far away to Adar's ears. The blasters on his back clunked into one another, but he felt that more than he heard it. Even from this distance, the roar of the ship's engines was loud. It blocked out every other sound. Before he got close to the alley's exit, the intense heat from the engines forced him to slow to a walk. Sweat trickled down his face and into his panting mouth. It tasted like salty dirt. He spat. There had been splinters of wood in there as well. He could feel moisture forming around his armpits. He took several deep breaths to clear his mind, inhaled a bunch of sweat, and spat again. Smoke billowed up from the side of the crash. He He could not tell if it was all coming from the ship or if the buildings on either side had caught fire. The one on the left had caved in and covered much of the ship. The building on the other side still maintained the top part of its structure, but what remained hung precariously. A strong wind would knock it over. Adar ground his teeth. The closer he got, the more it looked as though the confounded ship had blocked off the arches. When he had first exited the arches, he had noticed chisel markings around the rock within which the entrance had been built. He had assumed something had been done to the rock that warded off previous attempts to destroy it. He had a sinking feeling the ship had been able to accomplish what so many others had failed to do. The wind shifted, and he could see now that the building on the left was burning. While he watched, more of the flames climbed ever higher. It would not be long before the building on the right would be in flame as well. Cursed by Melia, Adar thought, and left for dead. The strength of the heat was enough to make him take several steps back. He feared the buildings to either side of him in the alley were at risk of taking flame as well. Well, Kira is going to like this. I'm going to return as soon as I left. He was at risk of being burned if he stayed much longer. The sweat wasn't as much of a problem as it had been several minutes ago because it was evaporating. Adar wasn't certain what made him turn. Maybe he'd somehow heard the hinges of the door as it had opened, or it might have just been his paranoia that kept him looking about. The way Jorad always talked about Adar's paranoia as if it were a bad thing had been a thorn in Adar's side. The snide comments Adar had to endure from his son had subsided in the weeks since the Hunway had come. Under other circumstances, it might have been satisfying to have Jorad's rebellious streak beat down. A man stepped out of the open door, and Adar was surprised to see he knew the man. It was Bark Tidenhel, Soray's father. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.